setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Okay, so a little chaotic start. Here's what we're going to do. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. going to bring you the same show you're used to, where we talk about how you win at work and how you win at life. We're going to get into, again, in the news, more and more evidence coming out every day that the higher education bubble is about to burst. What does that mean for you? We're not bashing education at all. Knowledge is good. There's so many more paths to knowledge and education than we have ever had before. And so we've got to look at this because there are so many negative effects, financial and emotional, really the two biggies, that are affecting you parents and you students. And we've got to address it. So let's dive in. Pulling a lot of information from a Washington Post article as we start today. And let's just break it down. What are some degrees that if you look at the return on investment, so ROI, and return on investment here, we need to look at, it's not just the cost of tuition, and there's housing, food, right? All of the things, books. It's a big, big chunk. So we look at what we pay out for the degree, and then we look at what a person can earn or what people are actually earning with these degrees. So we're going to break this down. Again, some of this information from the Washington Post, and then I'm going to jump to some other things as we get into our In the News segment later on. So a bachelor's in anthropology costs $132,656 on average. Graduates earn a salary of only $19,227 2 years later. A philosophy degree from Oberlin costs $142,220, and graduates only make $18,154 2 years later. A bachelor's degree in studio and fine arts at Syracuse costs $137,888, and 2 years later, students make an average of $17,642 yearly. According to an analysis by FreeOOP.org, I have no idea what the OOP stands for. Kind of interesting. 31% of life sciences and biology programs have a negative ROI. Philosophy and religious studies leave a majority of their graduates in the red, in debt. 68% of programs in visual arts and music have a negative return on investment. Higher education lobby has tried to hold this information back from you, the people. I'm bringing it to you more and more and more. Now, why would the higher education lobby, and it's just like any other industry, tobacco companies, you just think down the list, they pay these high-priced lawyers, former politicians, huge money to lobby Congress to create advantageous regulations, advantageous legislation, and to keep some of this stuff out of the news. It stays out of the news because these lobbyists work very, very hard to keep legislators at bay. And so I, for a moment, I got to say, look, a lot of this is on the backs of our legislators and education bureaucrats, these fat cats in higher education. It's a game. And listen to me, parents and students are losing the game. And you will continue to lose the game as long as you stay in the game. You are in the matrix. The matrix has been created around you, and it is and it's taking advantage of you. And we have to wake up to this. This is a game, a high price, high stakes game. The stakes are our financial futures, our emotional states, dealing with all this unbelievable debt. These pressures and realities turn into massive personal problems. Confusion that turns into depression. Debt that turns into depression. Confusion that turns into anxiety. It just keeps going and going and going. And people call the show, and I'm not going anywhere, and we're pulling people out of the river. But you want to know how this starts? Where millions and millions of people get into this superhighway, they get on the superhighway of wandering around their whole lives. It starts here. Well, I'm going to go get this degree. It's a really nice school. It's an expensive degree. And everything's going to be okay. It's been sold as a magic pill. And it's not magic. It's very profitable for universities and their lobbyists. It's very profitable for the federal student government loan program. It's very profitable for the private loan program. Hopefully those days are coming to an end. We saw a recent article we shared on this show where a private student loan organization got hammered to the tune of billions of dollars for duping unsuspecting people into taking loans they didn't need and could not afford. So back to the data. The moral dilemma, and this is a moral dilemma. We've got students in the middle of it now, those that are coming into it from our K-12 system, who are going to end up like the people that are on the outside of it now, millennials, strapped with debt. No return on their investment financially, and as a result, the emotional and mental damage, relational damage from a person who is wandering, you tell me that doesn't have personal impact? Of course it does. Of course it does. So the moral dilemma. Are our kids getting overeducated? They're certainly underemployed based on the expectations of the degree. And they are crippled by debt. If I go back and look at that, I wonder, is it that we have a generation of people that are overeducated, or really is it that they're undereducated, but they're overpaying? Because the typical media narrative on this has been, well, they're overeducated, meaning they got this degree, but then they come out and they think they're going to make $50,000 and they barely make $20,000. But maybe they're undereducated. They've overpaid for something that's not worth the sticker price. Maybe that's possible. Maybe that's the narrative. Because the whole point of the education and the knowledge is for the ticket. And the ticket isn't getting them anywhere near where they want to be. So does college pay? That's not the right question. The real question is, when does it pay? We're going to help you sort through it. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multimillionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work so that you can win in life. We just believe that we cannot separate your relational purpose and your professional purpose. And for those of you who have seen work as just something you do to make a paycheck, oh, there's so much more there. And when you can understand that and then actually discover what that kind of work is for you, where it's absolutely on purpose, where you can use what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, that's passion, to produce results that matter to your mission, and you can get into that kind of work, then all of a sudden, Monday through Friday changes. It's unbelievable. And then that has a tremendous impact on your personal life. If you're, just think about this for a second, if your work sucks because of a horrible leader, toxic coworkers, which by the way is a derivative of horrible leadership. Maybe you're just bored. Maybe there's nothing really bad as it relates to leadership or people around you, but you're just bored. There's no juice for you there. That wears on you. You're talking about 8 to 10 hours a day. That wears on you. And we as human beings long to make a difference. And if you're spending the majority of your week feeling as though you're not making a difference or making the difference that you want to make, or that you're just flat out not happy, you're dragging that home with you. And then, of course, you could be in your sweet spot at work and doing everything great, but if your life is falling apart or you've got bad personal habits, or your marriage is struggling, or you know, parenting is just, it's a four-alarm fire, you're dragging that to work with you. And so, comprehensively, we want that to be the conversation here on the Ken Coleman Show, more of the life stuff coming to you and coaching in the life area. We're going to bring a lot more to you this year. So let's get to the phones, because that's why we're here, to counsel, coach, and cheer you on. Brianna joins us in Bust-Eye, New York. Brianna, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I have a tough decision to make. I'm trying to figure out if I should leave what has been my dream job for the last 3 years to have an opportunity to triple my income. I'll give you a little bit of background. So currently my job, I'm a nurse. I work for a company doing chart reviews. I work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 with a flexible schedule, really good time off, good benefits, great culture. I love my coworkers. Recently, my boss in the last year I've started to notice some narcissistic tendencies, I think. So over the last couple months, I've been kind of looking at options, and I can triple my income by taking travel nursing contracts. I've done the travel nursing. I'm actually doing a contract right now on the weekends to help pay off my debt. And I enjoy it, but I also have a 6-month-old, and I'm just nervous about changing my job and career from a stable one that has room for growth, even though, you know, my bosses have been having some issues, to one that could be a little bit less stable, but a huge, growth for my income that could help me and my family meet our dreams.
How is the travel nurse opportunity less stable? Just from the standpoint of being away so much?
Yeah, from being away, the income can range, depending on the contract that I would take. There wouldn't be a guarantee that I can get a contract, but there is certainly an abundance for it. I talked to several travel nurses and, you know, joined Facebook groups to kind of search it out for those that have taken the plunge, and they love it.
So
I know I'd be able to get a contract also, you know, close to my home. That would be 1 or 2 hours away. So it wouldn't be too far of a travel either.
And even if there's a couple of down periods, the money's making up for it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, this is interesting. I think the two other factors that we have to walk through really quickly is just the boss situation. How is the narcissistic tendencies, how is that affecting you specifically?
Well, emotionally, it's really bothering me.
What's going on?
Well, I'm in a supervisory role, excuse me.
It's okay.
I'm in a new supervisory role, and I'm young. I'm about 28, and my boss has recently told me that she thinks that I'm basically too young to be a good leader. Basically showing that she doesn't have a lot of confidence in me. She's not very clear on the direction that she gives me as far as things to improve on. And even just simply undermining me as far as, you know, me explaining things to my team and her saying, no, you know, ignore what she just said. That's not something that you have to do.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you are literally working for a horrible boss. This is a horrible leader. And I think now the next factor is how's Hubs? Oh, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. You've been hurt. You've been really hurt. She's made you feel like you are less than, doesn't she? Or he. I don't know who it is. Yeah. Have you been embarrassed? I think this pain, is this coming from embarrassment? Has she humiliated you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, before we go any further, first of all, I'm glad you're sharing this emotion. Before we go any further, you're not too young to lead. I really want to break down what I think is truly the most asinine, stupid statement that she's made. There's no universal rule on how old you have to be to lead. So when someone hurts us and humiliates us, when we pull that arrow out, okay, because that hurts. So let's just acknowledge it hurts. Whether the statement's true or not, she embarrassed you. She hurt you. So we got to heal from that. And one of the ways that you can heal from this is to understand that what she said is not true, despite the fact that it embarrassed you. It's not true. Anybody who's done any work on leadership, study on leadership, written a book on leadership, spoken on leadership, observed leadership, would tell you that that's the stupidest thing they've ever heard in their life. Do I have is this a giggle cry?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think it's our first giggle cry on the show. And so let's just, do you acknowledge that that's a pretty stupid statement on its own merit? That's a stupid statement. You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, now let's move to the personal side because I've already made my decision on the leadership side. You know where I'm going with this. This is literally a horrible loss. You know, Alex, I know this isn't possible, but I'm just going to tell you where my head's at. I would love to call this leader up on the phone, get her on the phone live, and ask her, did you say this to Brianna? And then fire the leader. Say, we are firing you from being her leader. She's turning in her notice later today. This is what I would like to do. This is where I'm at. Okay, here's the deal. Where's your husband? We only got about a minute. Where's your husband on supporting, you know, because you got the 6-month-old. Is he on board? Do we have a good family set up to where you're not going to have too much mommy guilt because you know the baby's okay and you're making triple money and getting out of debt, which is going to make baby's life better? Are you good on that side?
Yeah.
You got full support?
Yeah, 100%.
Then do it. Because it's got to be right for your family. And it's got to be, and your heart has to be good with this. And as long as you know baby's okay, baby's thriving, baby's 6-month-old, I have no idea how long you're gone. And this can get you out of debt, get your baby step 3, looking at the Ramsey Solutions baby steps, get out of debt, baby step 2, baby step 3 is 3 to 6 months expenses. This is going to fast forward all that big time. You've done your research. I'm really proud of you. Other travel nurses said, I love it. I think it's going to open up a huge direction for you. So I say, take it. Take it. And Brianna, you're a rock star. Fire your leader. You don't quit. We just need to start firing bad leaders. Hey, guess what? You're fired. I'm out. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were born to do, and then we help you win big in that role. You were created to fill a unique role in your work. That means you're needed, and it means you must do it. Stop trying to be great and start trying to be unique. Because I promise you this, if you discover your uniqueness, you will step into greatness. It's that simple. Let's take the pressure off, shall we? Everybody's trying to be great, but they don't know what they're trying to be great at. Why don't you just be unique? Why don't you figure out what's your unique combination? Your uniqueness is the secret to greatness. 844-747-2577. These past 2 years, gave a lot of us time to reflect, especially when it came to our jobs, and many of you reassessed. Millions and millions and millions have done it. What do you really want out of your job? Well, we've helped you figure it out here on the Ken Coleman Show. That's what we do. You want fulfillment. You want joy. You want a great paycheck and great impact. So it's time to move. It's hot. Hot job market. It's a job seeker's market. That's why I work with ZipRecruiter and endorse them. Number one job site in the United States. They'll pitch your profile to employers for great jobs. They do it for you. ZipRecruiter may even send you an awesome job that you would have never found on your own. I think that's highly likely. Sign up for free. It's always free to you. No catch. It's free. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken right now and sign up. Absolutely free, and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Okay, I'm just going to tell you now, you're going to hear this very consistently on this show. The education system is broken, it's outdated, it's endangered, and it all is affecting you. I'm going to help pull you out of the matrix. I'm here to fight for three groups of people that the education system is failing. Kids, parents, and teachers. I'm on your side. And so we're going to be bringing you the evidence, and we're going to be bringing you the problem, and we're going to be bringing you the solution. Let's dive in today in the news. All right. I got a ton of info here. I can't get through it all. I will nerd out and people will nod off. So Fox Business headline, money is the top reason why students are dropping out of college. New study. The University Professional and Continuing Education Association found that 42% of college dropouts cited financial reasons as to why they were leaving school, outweighing the percentage of students who left for other reasons, like family commitments, 32%, and health reasons, 15%. So, folks, we're inching towards 50%. Of college dropouts are dropping out because of the money. Either they can't afford it to cash flow it, and what is more likely happening because of the data, we know this, they're watching their debt pile up. They're watching their debt pile up. And they're going, this is unsustainable. I can't do this. The study showed that two-thirds, now this is where the matrix is harming people. I don't want to say that lightly. I also don't want you to miss what I just said. This is where the higher education matrix is harming people, and it is generational in its harm. Watch. This study showed that 65% of those who stopped attending college had a household income of $50,000 or less. That's compared to less than 2% with an income above $100,000. So again, I want to park here. This is a money game. The student loan with the federal government and the private student loan fat cats are teaming up with the education bureaucrats. And it's not just on the bureaucrats. I'm talking about these. How do I even say it? Hoity-toity universities that are overcharging because of their brand, their billions and billions of dollars of endowments that don't go to help students actually pay for their higher education? Those are the fat cats and the bureaucrats. And it's Congress and it's the National Education Association, because it's all trickling down through K through 12. Because if you don't think there is an actual collusion, yes, folks, I'm using the word. If you don't think there's collusion between all those people that has put this cultural narrative in place for over 50 years, and it is putting pressure on 9th graders and 10th graders and 11th graders and 12th graders while they're still developing. It's putting pressure on families to try to fund something that's not even as relevant as it used to be. And I'm not a class warfare guy, but folks, look at the numbers. 65% of those who dropped out of college were coming from a household income of $50,000 or less. Now, those are gross pay numbers. Start taking taxes out of that, and you start to see how little money we're talking about. There's no way they can afford college. And if they get a student loan, it will take them years upon years to pay it back. This is a cultural class system problem, because only 2% are dropping out for financial reasons with household incomes above $100,000. The disparity needs to be looked at. So who is education for? Is it for just wealthy people? Is it for low-income homes who they've got a bright kid who actually can be and wants to be a doctor and has no other choice but to go to college and then to med school? The system isn't designed to help that kid or that family. It's just not. And the numbers bear it out. A couple other things here. I want to hit this. I'm going to go deep on this. Let's look at some programs that have a strong return on investment. 4 in 5 engineering degree programs have an ROI, return on investment, above $500,000. But the same is true for just 1% of psychology programs. Flipping through. Those of you who love hearing me deal with the paper, there we go. A key measure of economic value. Here's how they came up with this ROI. They define ROI as the amount the student can expect to gain financially from each individual degree. After all, that's what it's being sold as, is a magic pill, a ticket to great money. ROI compares the main financial benefit of college, the increase in lifetime income attributable to the degree, and then the cost, including tuition and foregone earnings. Most bachelor's degree programs in engineering, computer science, economics, and nursing increase lifetime earnings by $500,000 or more, but most programs in art, music, philosophy, religion, and psychology leave students financially worse off. So, you know, you have to look at this stuff and say, if my kid wants to go and do fine arts or major in music or philosophy, look, you just need to understand, is there a better way for that person to get into that professional field? I mean, let's just break this down. If you want to get into art or music, I'm just going to tell you right now, don't go to college. I would look for internships, entry-level work for an artist, for a musician. I'd go on tour. I'd work as a production assistant in a recording studio. I would not go to school to get a degree in art, music, philosophy, or religion to actually be in that world. I just wouldn't. It makes no sense. Well, Ken, they frown on people. That's garbage. If you get in and work your way up, nobody cares. I mean, have we forgotten how many people worked their way up, started your level, and just proved and learned on the job? Whatever happened to learning on the job? It's the best education you can get. Boy, it is sure a whole lot cheaper. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's get to the phones. Washington, D.C. is where we go next. For Bill. Bill, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, am I being selfish or irresponsible for wanting to leave a high-paying job for a less-paying dream job?
Based on that question without any evidence, I'm going to lean towards no, but I want more evidence. All right. Yeah, why do you feel selfish? I mean, therein lies what we need to dive into. You're the one that feels selfish. Why do you feel selfish?
Well, I make a very good living. I have a family, two kids. One's about to start college. We've become accustomed to, you know, a certain quality of life, and taking a large pay cut would, I guess, diminish that. We wouldn't have to sell the house or move, or we're debt-free currently, but just some of the other extras, I think, would have to go away for me to do this.
How much of a pay cut?
Roughly 120.
Which would take you back to what?
Starting at 50.
Starting at 50. What's the possible increase look like? How much and how long?
It's a civil service job, so there's different steps. One good thing about it, though, is that only work roughly 10 days a month, so I would look to supplement my income with a second job.
Interesting. What is the civil service dream job? What are you doing? Tell me what the day-to-day looks like, and why is that the dream?
So I'd like to do firefighting. I've always wanted to do that ever since I got out of college 20-something years ago. Mm-hmm. I just went a different path. I went into federal law enforcement, and I did that for what's going on 15 years now. But it just doesn't have the same appeal that it once did.
Got it. Okay. So I love that you're staying in the same lane, though. You know what I mean? I love that it's firefighting. So you didn't answer my question. A year, 2 years down the road, if you take this job starting tomorrow, what is your pay increase to?
I think it's maybe 60, 65.
Okay. And so you're at, you said 120. You would drop 120 to get to 50. So you're in the 180 range right now, 170, 180. Am I understanding that right?
170, yeah.
Okay, good.
Correct.
So what kind of work would you do on the side, and how much would it supplement you? So let's look at the new number. So a real drop has to be whatever the extra side money is during the times you're off.
Yeah, honestly, I think I would stay in the criminal investigator lane as far as maybe going into background investigations.
Great. How much money could you make doing that?
I think from what I've looked online, between 50 and 70.
All right. So let's split the difference.
A year.
All right. And so if we make 60 and you start out at 50 as a fireman, you're at 110. So it's really a $60,000 hit.
Yeah, true.
So wife's on board?
She is very supportive. She was supportive 15 years ago when I decided to travel the world and do all kinds of crazy things. But I just, you know, yes, she is. I want to be fair to her.
Well, how's it going to change your, I mean, you don't have to answer this on the air, but you guys have sat down and said, okay, this is what the changes will actually be.
Right.
Right? You've done that?
Yeah, we have.
How old are the kids?
18 and 16.
Yeah, they're out in 2 years anyway.
Yes.
They don't get a vote, really. It's not going to be miserable for them.
It's much different now.
It's not going to be miserable for them, right?
No, it wouldn't be. And like I said, we don't have debt.
Yeah. All right.
We wouldn't have to move.
All right. So we have 30 seconds. I've talked through everything I needed to talk through. I got all the answers I needed. And you called me saying, Ken, am I selfish? The answer is no, you're not.
Okay.
No. And you're leaning towards doing it before you called me, yes or no?
Yes.
Do it. Don't look back. I love this plan. I think you'll find a way. I think life's going to be so much better that you won't even miss the money. That's what I think. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. So excited to have you with us in the chat room. Boy, we have a lot of chat conversation going on today. So I wanted to just say, what's up over there in the chat room? I love it. I love the interaction over there. And I see some interesting stuff over there. But it is January, and all month in January, we've been doing our job tip of the day. Let's get to it. It's time for the job tip of the day. All right, this comes from Elizabeth on Facebook. What is the best way to find jobs that are 100% remote? As a military spouse, this would be an ideal work situation for me. Ken just released a blog, 15 of the best work from home jobs. Okay, I did release that blog. For those of you who are interested in the question like Elizabeth, go to kencoleman.com and read the blog, 15 of the best work from home jobs. So Elizabeth, start with that list. Are there three or four or two or one that interest you? Start looking for those remote jobs. Search by remote jobs. Those jobs that we give you at the blog aren't just a good list. They're also an idea of the industries that are very open to remote work. So you just start with good old-fashioned research. As I like to tell my kids, the Google is amazing. And I would start there. But be thinking, what kind of remote work do I want to do with the ideas we give you in the blog? And then start looking for that. And you can find it. It's out there. I promise. What do you want to do? Is it done remote? There you go. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Lucy is up next in Tampa, Florida. Lucy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How you doing?
I'm living the dream, Lucy. What's up?
So I'm a little bit in a crossroads right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in my job for about 2 years now, ever since the pandemic, I got this job. I haven't gotten a raise in about a year and a half now. They keep adding things onto my plate, and the owners keep saying how they want me to be a permanent fixture in their company. But they're joking about giving me a raise, but it just never comes. They keep saying, oh, it's going to come, and it never comes. I even keep asking how I can make myself more valuable, to get that raise, but it's a lot of talk and no action. I'm just a little confused on what to do.
Yeah.
Because I feel that I am more valuable than what I'm getting paid.
What does that mean?
Been told that people that were in my position before were getting paid more than I currently am now.
Who told you that?
So, my coworker that has been in the company for 5 years, she started in my position. Well, she started basically in my position for $20 an hour. She actually used to do a little bit less, and I make $18 an hour.
Oh, my. Angela, I want to investigate this comment. They joke about me getting a pay raise. What does that sound like? What does that look like? Are you serious?
Oh, they, like, make comments like, oh, I'm going to make you salary and all this stuff. And, you know, when I make you salary, this is what's going to happen. And you're going to have to work 50 hours. I currently work 50 to 70 something hours a week anyway.
All right. I've heard enough.
Yeah.
You know what these people are doing? You are very nice. They're not joking with you. A joke is somebody moving your sandwich in the refrigerator and putting it on your laptop or something. Like, that's a joke. They're manipulating you. They are literally, it's like the old school cartoons, if you remember, you know, when somebody would like dangle a carrot on a stick and just, or, you know, or dangle a bone and make a dog go bananas.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's what they're doing to you. Because every time they make that comment, it gives you hope, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Except, I'll bet you now when the comment is made, instead of it giving you hope, it actually takes away hope.
Yeah, it makes me angry a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
and as it should.
I even grabbed at them that I can be making more because where I'm at, you could be making more working at a restaurant or, you know, not being in a corporate job with over 300 employees under you.
It's time to start looking, Lucy. Your days are numbered. You know it and I know it.
Yeah, I learn a lot from this job.
Okay, fine.
Not the owner,
you talked me out of it.
Boss above me.
You talked me out of it, Lucy. Keep letting them manipulate you because you're learning so much.
That's the thing. I don't want them to. Is there any way that I can switch them? Or is it because they've already started manipulating me? That's it. There's no switch.
This has been going on for a year?
About 6 months now.
Okay, and you've already sat down with them and said, what can I do to be more valuable? What'd they say back?
They say that they have plans for me and that they want to teach me more so I can take on more, but they keep adding more, and they keep pushing. So it was like, okay, in the new year, you're going to get a raise. And now it's like, okay, in February, you're going to get a raise. And
I know. I feel like you're chasing your tail. You are chasing your tail in front of me right now. You called me to ask me what I would do, correct?
Yes.
I already told you, and you're trying to talk me out of my opinion. Here's the deal. I don't mind if you disagree with me, but I owe it to you to tell you the truth.
Right.
The truth is they're manipulating you. You just said it. They keep pushing it. You're working 50 to 70 hours a week. Here's what I just heard. Yeah, but Ken, here's what you said. Look, here's a quick summary of our conversation. You ready?
Yeah.
I could be the lady who was in my job before made $2 an hour more than I do. I'm working 50 to 70 hours a week. They keep telling me they're going to do stuff for me and give me a raise. I keep asking to show more value. And all they do is go, down the road. And they keep kicking the can down the road. They make jokes about giving you a raise. That's your words.
Yeah, they do.
And you said you could make more money waiting tables if you had to.
Right.
And then I said, leave. And your first spot, your comment was, yeah, but Ken, I'm learning so much. Okay, great. Keep learning. Because I'm telling you, you are a time bomb. A person cannot continue to endure what you are enduring, manipulation, being overworked and not rewarded. You can't keep doing that. So you determine when you want to leave.
I feel that.
I know. So you get to choose when you want to leave. I'm looking today. And I'm not leaving until I find something, but I'm looking. And you know what you like. You've tasted some of it at this job. You know what you want to learn. I think you're scared. You're scared of change.
I am.
I know. But what's the worst that can happen? It takes you six months to find something?
I don't have a degree.
Who cares? These people hired you.
That's true.
What is it that you want to do? Name the work. Give me a fun little dream. Stop thinking about it and just say it.
On my own business.
What kind of
ultimately.
Business?
Ultimately.
What kind of business?
That I'm not sure of yet.
Okay, but here I got great news for you. If you want to eventually own your own business, your future boss doesn't give a crap if you got a degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we're doing right now is trying to make the most money in the most enjoyable possibility to allow you to discover, save, launch, and go full time for yourself. Am I right?
Ultimately, yeah, that's the plan. I am on the baby steps. I'm in
Great.
Number 2 right now. So.
Great. So you got to pay that debt off. So here's what matters.
Yeah.
You need to start putting all your energy into two areas. One, getting a better job and a better environment where you make better money. And that's out there right now. It's a buyer's market. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. I don't just endorse them. That's an option for you. Go see what's out there, what you're qualified to do. I'm okay with the day job. If it leads me to the dream job, that's what I did. Your dream job is working for you. So the second category where you put all of your energy is discovering what kind of business you want to own. And I'm going to give you 3 questions that'll help you figure out the business.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1, who are the people I want to help? What problem or desire do they have is the number 2 question. The number 3 question is, what's the solution that I want to bring to either solve their problem or meet their desire? Do you understand those 3 simple questions?
Yeah, who to help? What's the problem and what's the solution?
Here's where business ideas come from.
Yeah.
And I think you already know some of those ideas. And then you got to get qualified, save up money to do it, launch it on the side. Don't put all the pressure to make it a full-time gig. You got this. It's time to start looking.
Thank you. I think that's everything I
needed to help. Yes, trust me. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. This is The Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.